lift your hands to the Lord and praise Him today. Hallelujah. There is only one way to walk with God today, and that's straight ahead. Amen. Be not weary in well doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. You've got to have a determination to walk with God. I cringe when I see people use small and frail excuses to detour the things they need so much to hit head on. We cannot eliminate the facts. We're not going to chase the world away. An old love song when I was a kid. I used to listen to old Philco once in a while. My daddy and mother weren't looking at tuning one of them worldly stations. Yeah, Eddie Arnold sing, "Make the world go away." I found out the world don't go away. Boy, he gets up growling every morning. It don't go away, it's not going to go away tomorrow. And it's not going to go away next week. The world is going to be here and it's going to wax worse and worse. It's not going to get any better. So you might as well just forget the world. The world is not going to answer your needs. You're going to walk with God, hang the world. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now you can't love this world and love God. The Bible said that Paul had a friend with him, a man to walk with him. A cohort. Demas. Demas was a good brother. And then we get the sad report. It comes roaring back to us over the scriptural telegraph here. It says, "Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world." Found something in the world he loved more than he loved God. That's a crime that I've read about here in 2 Timothy. "Men shall be loved as a pleasure more than loved as God." You know, the Bible doesn't say it's wrong to love pleasure. It doesn't say it's wrong to have pleasure. It doesn't say it's wrong to have peace. Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you." It doesn't say it's wrong for the boys to go out and play ball. It doesn't say it's wrong for the girls to go play dolls. It doesn't say it's wrong for mom and dad to go on vacation. But when you start loving the world more than you love God, when you start looking at the world and say, "I wish I had all of that." Hey, when you get all of that, you haven't got anything. Because it's hollow and baseless. There's no bottom in that thing. You jump in there and just keep right on falling. There's just no bottom to it. You just never hit on solid rock. You just land in the mud and just keep sinking out of sight. That's right. And you can't live for God just hoping things are going to get better. Things don't get better by hoping. Let's all say hoping. Don't hope that things are going to get better. They're not going to get better. I said, "Brother Hamby, what do you mean?" I just mean that. Politics are not going to get better. Government's not going to get better. World crisis isn't going to get any better. World peace is not going to get any better. I said, "Well, they're going to get a peace over there." Not till Jesus comes in, huh? They're going to fuss and fight and carry on and shoot each other over oil barrels and just keep it up until the Prince of Peace comes. There's not going to be any peace in the Middle East. And the Bible says when they cry, "Peace and safety," then shall sudden destruction come upon them. Just about the time they got it all worked out, boom, there they go again. The tides are rolling in. Angry, angry, angry elements. That's right. Everywhere there's an earthquake, or there's another tidal wave, or there's another big storm somewhere. It's getting worse and worse and worse and worse. I said, "Brother Henry, I don't think I can take it." That's because you're looking at it right out of your two eyes. And there's no way you can take it. Doing that, unless you just get into it, and well, I think I'll try to help it. And a lot of people get caught up in all of its causes, and they're walking up and down the street, trying getting money for the heart fund. They're out here collecting clothes for the
kids home and all of that.
That's all fine. Those are nice things to do, but you're not going to save the world. And we're not going to help the world a great deal just by collecting for the heart fund or taking up clothes for the orphanage. Because every one you help to save, there are 10 others that are dying that never even knew you were around. And every little hungry boy you feed and every piece of clothes you put on somebody, there are 10 others that don't have anything to wear. And you know, I've been told by some of the religionists in this city that this church needs to become involved in its social affairs. And Brother Hamby, you've got a tremendous congregation over there. Why don't you all get involved in some of the affairs of the city and some of the things we've got going on? See if we can help the town. I told them the best thing I can do to help the town is to preach against this liquor and against this tobacco and against this running around and against this divorce and its separation and its licentiousness and its ungodliness. I told them, I said, if you want to help, I said, what's the use for me to come down and feed the orphans while y'all pour money in the back door of the pool hall? That's what makes orphans. A couple of the commissioners talked with me here a few months ago, and one of them said, well, Pastor, why don't you help us out? Talk to us on some of our committees and what have you. And I said, what do you want me to help out? He said, well, why don't you help us plan and organize some things that will, you know, that will we can structure some things that will help the community. And I said, that's what I'm doing over there on Campus Drive. Working hard, structuring everything I can structure to help the community. There's only one thing that's going to help this world, and that's the Holy God of Heaven. Praise God. Oh, I think we ought to feed the poor. I don't think we ought to turn anybody away from the door. I think we ought to reach out our hand to the poverty stricken. I think we ought to do everything we can to help everybody, but we're never going to feed all the poor, and we're never going to clothe all the cold. Is that right? We're never going to get all that done. What we really need to do is to zero in on the real purpose and cause that God sent His love to the world, and that's to save those who were lost. You can give a man food, he's going to be hungry again tomorrow. Give him clothes, he's going to be cold again next week. You can give him God, and he'll find an answer to all of those problems. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you. We need to get God in the lives of men and women. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Worship the Lord together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I want to go back. Well, I'm probably boring some of you to death. I want to go back a little while here. And just in closing, I want to say, the Bible says for us to be strong in the power of His might. Not in our own, but in the power of His might. Scripture teaches us that we should stand fast in the faith. The Word of God shows us that after we've done everything we can to stand, we should just stand. This is no day for turning back. This is a day for going on. This is not a day for being discouraged. This is a day for being encouraged. But I want to assure you that at some time you are going to be tempted or tried or tested to go back. That's right. The Bible said of Abraham, that if he had been minded, he could have had opportunity to go back. Hebrews 11. If it had been in his mind to go back, he had a lot of opportunity to go back. Everyone understand what I'm saying? If he'd have had the slightest inkling that he wasn't going to make it, he wouldn't have gone on. And I said a while ago, there's only one way to live for God, and that's with strong determination to go straight ahead. When you start saying, I don't think I can make it, you're saying what the devil wants you to say. When you say you don't know if you can make it or not, you should never say you don't know if you can make it. You should never say that. You should never say, I don't know if I can stand up under this.
What do you mean you don't know if you can stand up under this?
Who do you believe? That spirit that's talking in your ear or this word right here? The Bible said he won't put more on you than you can bear. I'll tell you what the problem is. Sometimes we get more on us than we can bear. But he didn't put it on us. We put it on ourselves. Now, I will assure you that if you work 16 hours a day and miss church, that you got more on you than you can bear. If you're working two jobs and got your wife working and two of your kids working, and y'all are just passing, you know, the house is a place where you say hi and bye, you know. She's going to work when you're coming home, and he's going to work, you know, when she's coming home, and get all that going just right in this fine American style. That's why one out of every three, now it's right at two out of every three marriages in Tarrant County end in the divorce court. Got to have a level of living up here so high. It takes all of us working and striving to meet them. Say, well, Brother Henry, I'm just trying to get this business going. That business won't be worth a drop in the bucket to what your soul is worth. If you lose your soul making that business grow, that business is not worth your soul. Hallelujah. And what in the world are we going to do? Well, we need to live a little less. And we need to live within our means, if we can. Boy, it's quiet in here now, isn't it? Better to have a little, the scripture says, with teeth, than to have plenty with strife. Better to have a little bit and have teeth. I know some folks that are just the sweetest people in the world. They don't live very high and don't have very much and not trying to get very much. They're just happy. They got their children and they got food on the table and they got an old car that gets them there and they're just happy. And I've watched some of those same people look around and say, boy, we need to get on up here in the world a little. And they buy this, and then they get that, and they've got to get some new furniture for the house. Got to get everybody all dressed up just right. That's all wonderful now. But after a while, they can't pay for all that, and then Mama goes to work. And then the first thing you know, the kids are married to sinners, and Mama's out running around, and Daddy's mad and drinking. And what happened? They used to be happy. Let's all say happy. This world will talk you in to living a life that was never meant for you to live. Credit. I know that I'm shotgunning here, but listen to all of this because I've got to settle down and be evangelistic tonight. Credit cards. Let's all say credit cards. One of the greatest crimes that ever hit America. Those things that when you get that bill, it's like paying for a dead horse. You've already
spent.
That's right. You've already spent it. You've already burned all that gasoline up, and here comes a bill for $163. Exxon. You say, and these guys are wealthy, and I'm poverty stricken. They're expecting me to pay them money. Of course, you forget that you've been burning their gas for the last month. That's how they got wealthy. That's how you got poor. You're buying and they're selling. Now, that's the difference in poverty and wealth. Whether you're buying or selling. Folks that are rich are always selling. Folks that are poor are always buying. And most of them on credit. Credit cards, they're bad on you. Yes, sir. And then here comes another one. Electric bill. Water bill. Gas bill. Phone bill. You make all these calls on this telephone?
How many are on it?
How many times did you call your mother this month?
Oh, I don't know, just once or twice or three or four times.
You got one bill on here for $11. Boom, and the plastic starts to fall. The carpet just bounces on the floor.
If you let it, this world will get you all caught up. And we say, well, we got to live. And we consider living.
Getting that and that and that.
There are some things that are necessary for us to live in this world, in this society. I think that everybody ought to have nice things. You ought to have everything you can afford. But we have to seek the kingdom of God first. First, find that highway of holiness and get on it. Get your feet on it. And if you can do that, then you can reach out and everything you touch, you will reach it from having your feet on solid ground. Everything you buy, you've got your feet on the ground. A fast-talking encyclopedia salesman can sell you a bunch of books you never read. I know. My wife and I went down to Altamont when we were about 19 years of age each. We went down. It was not much going on at Reedsville. Reedsville had a population of 27 people. And we were living in the old horse shed, the top of the horse shed where they used to keep the horses. You know, when they'd come to church, they'd saw that old building off and let it down. There was a hall, an old church hall on top of that in upstate New York. And the cracks in the wall, you could spit right through the wall. From 3 or 4 feet back, I mean. And that's right. My wife was scared because the mice, you know, we slept on the floor. We just had a mattress on the floor. We just didn't have a bed at that time. And she was always worried that the mice would run up over the bed. Of course, I got hugged a lot. But one night, a mouse fell off a bench